There are things that we all have to learn. I mean, we can't possibly understand one another's experiences because we haven't lived them. And so learning that makes us better people.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where my friends and I talk about God's word and the real stuff of life, and we hold nothing back. I'm Ginger Stocky with Aaron Cluley, Jay, and of course, Joyce Meyer. We're all in different stages of life. A young career woman and mom to two sweet kiddos. An accomplished songwriter facing an unexpected new life's journey. A leader, creative, and author with a heart for adventure. And a world-renowned Bible teacher whose personal story has impacted millions. And there's you. Because sometimes you just need to talk about life with your girlfriends. So consider yourself one of us and let's talk it out.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. We are so glad to have you, our friends, here with us. Because today we're talking about friendship and not just the fluffy, surfacy stuff.
No.
We're talking...
No, not that.
We're going to pull back the curtains on friendships, talk about how hard it can be, how to work through difficult times. We're going to get real about our own friendship between us and how much we appreciate and love all of you, too. But there was a beautiful moment of friendship just a moment ago.
Yeah, I'd like to share something that my close friend just did for me.
Yeah.
I'll have you notice it's disgusting.
Yeah. But it was you let me do
the
it.
The sentiments are really sweet. I had my foot was a little dry, and so I couldn't tell if it was a tan line or if it was dry skin. So Jay,
before the shoot, I mean, I just licked my finger and I did like bitch.
Oh, you did again though. Like once is enough.
It is on the nose.
Right, there, right there on that.
But you gave me a spit bath, and I would only let my close friend do that to me.
Yeah, and I would only I wouldn't lick my finger and rub a random person's foot.
Yeah, no stranger would do that to me.
I'm glad to hear that because we don't want you not to be here because you've been arrested.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
So true friendship right here on this couch.
I mean, that's real friendship.
It's beautiful, and I feel a little teary right now.
Well, no, she might do your foot
were
too.
Disgusted.
Well, I did say I'm not going to do that.
Keep my shoe on.
Let's just be honest.
I mean, I love you, but not that much.
That's how all friends are a little different. When it comes to feet, I'm out. Yeah.
You do make that pretty clear.
I did think that her feet look like cute little Barbie feet today. So
thank you for noticing, friend.
Yeah. You both have cute little sandals on, and I've got my big chunky chucks.
Yeah, we're in like bright colors, and you're like
camo.
And your chunky chucks, but you still look great.
Well,
I almost wore those today.
But it's even the way you said camo when we were talking about like talking all high pitched to say how we looked, and you were like, "And I'm in camo."
Deep in her soul is where it lives.
It's how you say camo.
Love it.
Okay, before we start, can I tell you a win that I had this morning?
I want to hear it.
It's not very big, so don't think like life-changing.
Okay. A win's a win.
But just
win's
to like
win.
A real honest moment, it's summertime. Uh-huh. And so our schedules are crazy. And my kids, we like have babysitters and camps, and it's just not, our schedule is off. Our routine is not the same. So 4 months, I've just felt like I was like behind. I'm always one step behind, and I'm just running to catch up. So this morning I got up extra early, and I exercised in the morning, which I don't like to do, but just to get my mind right. But then I had like a solid 30 to 45 minutes just to sit with some coffee and my Bible. And I realized it had been a little while since I put the armor of God on purposely on myself and on my kids and on Mike. So I sat there without being rushed and got a chance to do that. And it was so wonderful. Yeah. And I thought afterwards, I thought, I got to tell my friends.
That's great.
Because we talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't always do it.
Right.
You know, like my life... It sounds good to talk about. Sometimes I fall off.
Right, because
we all have good intentions. Yeah.
The practical application of what we talk about is sometimes not easy.
Right.
You know, like to actually remember to do it every day and to remember not just that and everything we talk about. Like it's just like, it's easy to talk about it in the moment, but when it comes time to actually live it out. So that's a huge win.
It's
a big win.
And I was kind of excited to tell my friends about it. Like talking about what we're talking about today. There's some small things like that you just want your friends to be your cheerleader for, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And because your friends get it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such an important keystone to friendship is somebody that gets me. Mm-hmm. And I can say, whether it's a good thing like you shared or a bad thing, like I didn't get to anything today I was supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're still supported in it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We understand the balance of it all. And that's the difference between like a superficial friendship and a deep friendship. To be able to say, okay, guys, really, I really did good. I was a good Christian. And we would celebrate it. But even if you say, like, guys, I missed everything today, we'd still celebrate you and love you. And, you know, like.
And push me.
And push you. And now, not only do you have your feet shot with the gospel piece, you got my spit.
And, like, I might have to wash it off.
No. Both of those are good things to have on your feet.
God, I pray for the shoes of readiness to spread the gospel of peace and the saliva of Jay to wipe out the dry skin.
Yes.
That's a sweet moment.
You are fully armed.
I am ready to go for today.
She's so ready to go.
But that's a big win, though, friend. High five with my spitty hand.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we hear from so many of our listening and watching friends is that they love being part of Talk It Out because they really feel like they're one of the girls.
Yeah.
You are welcomed into our friendship circle, and we love that. Mm-hmm. We love having so many people that, whether we connect on social media or they're, you know, making comments on YouTube or wherever else, it means a lot to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are saying, I wish I had friends like that, or how do you develop relationships? And we're going to talk about that, not because we've got it all down.
No.
We all have so much to learn and so much to do. But it's a really important thing for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to be intentional, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the blessings of having this ability through Joyce Meyer Ministries and this platform to be able to do this, I never would have expected in one of the most lonely times of my life, you know, to be walking through. I didn't approach this, you know, this podcast to be a part of something that was about, like, that happened while we were already in, you know, in, like, filming for this. We weren't even doing
visual yet.
What happened
with your marriage happened in the middle?
What happened? I in my mind, I was happily married when I agreed to do this podcast. I wasn't happily married. Well, I was. He wasn't, I guess.
I
have to talk like the Grinch to not be so serious about it.
That is such an excellent plan. I'm going to use that.
That's why I wasn't great. But no, I'm saying, like, when we first started the podcast, I was just in this to talk about life and talk about God and talk about everything with my girls, you know, that I love. But little did I know is that the friendship that even took our friendship to a deeper level would be something that would expose me to so many different new people during one of the most isolating times of my life, you know? And so just as much as people write in, because sometimes even like our, you know, marketing team and the social media team here at the ministry will send us like a group text to say, hey, somebody sent this message in, and how much it blesses me to know that what I deemed as painful and almost like flat out embarrassing, I have friends all around the world that are praying for me, supporting me, crying with me, celebrating wins, like putting on the armor of God. You know, it's just little, you never know. And you have to be flexible to allow God to bring friends however he wants to bring them.
Because vulnerability and honesty creates friendship. Mm-hmm. And it creates bonds that are different than they are without that. So this is really important. And I think sometimes we think we have to be perfect to have the right friends, for people to want to be our friends. Or even worse is we look for or want perfect friends and
absolutely.
Expect things that we shouldn't. And that doesn't work either.
No, I think one word that came to me this morning when I was thinking about this kind of goes along with that is the word insecurity on either side.
Yeah.
I think that's a really big part of friendships that sometimes I don't even want to admit how my own insecurity might affect my friendships, how I treat a friend or how I expect them to treat me or why they're not.
That's very true.
Yeah, projecting our insecurities onto others is something that can be very detrimental. Mm-hmm. And I've learned it the hard way, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm a firm believer too, though. My mom has always said this when I was a kid. She was just like, if you want friends, you have to show yourself friendly, you know, and not saying overly friendly where it's just fake. But if you want friends, you have to make yourself available for people to even approach you, you know, and you have to have what you said, that vulnerability. If we weren't we didn't know, and I keep talking about the podcast because we are talking about to all our friends that are out there, but like we didn't, I remember our original producer was really worried that this was even going to work because he was like, are you all going to be able to be vulnerable? Mm-hmm. And
we are like, no worries there. You should hear the stuff we already talk about.
You're going to have to reel us in. You know, I'm like, but that's the thing, like without a willingness to share and be vulnerable and transparent, even when it might seem embarrassing. We've all shared some things absolutely on this podcast. And of course, in our, if y'all think that what we share on here,
look out.
Look out. Because what we share in our regular conversations is whoa, you know? But I'm just saying, like, there's a certain level of vulnerability you have to have if you want real, true friendships.
Very true. And we're going to dig into some of that today because we want to talk about some of those things. Because I think people think friendship should be easy. Mm-hmm. That's what being a friend is. And that's not how it works. No. It's hard. It takes work.
It does.
And so we're going to talk about things like, how do you connect with people? How do you make friends and show yourself friendly, like you said? How do you navigate hard conversations? We've had a lot of those. And what to do when you're feeling lonely or rejected, because that is so hard in friendships. So a lot of things, even boundaries in friendships. Mm-hmm. But we're going to start right now hearing from Joyce, talking about what a true friend really is.
Matthew 7:12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now right away, we're getting into that let's be unselfish thing. Laying down your life means not necessarily doing what you want or what would be good for you, but doing what somebody else wants or what'll be good for them. And I don't know about you. Maybe you're a lot further along spiritually than I am. I'm sure a lot of you are. But I have to do this on purpose. It's not something that my flesh just says, ooh, goody, let's see how much we can give away and who all we can help today. But I believe as far as defeating the devil, who is our enemy and who attacks us and comes against us, I believe that walking in love, really walking in love with people, is the highest form of spiritual warfare that you can do. And I really imagine if we really walked in love, the devil wouldn't have too much that he could do to us. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love seeks not her own. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one then seek his own good and advantage and profit, but rather each one of the other, let him seek the welfare of his neighbor. Man, there's some of the best scriptures in the Bible. Do you know the answer to every problem we have is in the Word of God? And I mean, I believe that 100%. If we actually took the things that we hear and actually did them, as I tell people all the time, having it underlined in your Bible doesn't mean you're doing it. Philippians 2:4, let each of you esteem, that means value and respect, and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interest, but also each for the interests of others. Now that doesn't say that you can't care about yourself, but that's not the only thing that we should care about. Come on, this has got to be hitting home with somebody. And then one of my favorite in the Amplified Bible, Mark 8:34. If anyone intends to follow Christ, how many of you are Christ followers? Okay. Well, here's what you have to do. Let him deny himself, forget himself, disown himself, lose sight of himself and all of his own interest, but live for the interest of others. See, here's the thing. It sounds like, man, that would really be a bummer life. To just give up everything and not do what I want and not think about myself and just live my whole life to make other people happy. But here's the thing. If anyone would ever dare to do that, God would take such great care of them. There would be nothing that you would want or need that God wouldn't supply for you if you stopped trying to get it all for yourself and instead do for other people?
So that's the real stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about these scriptures, and they're hard.
They're hard.
Wouldn't you love it if what Joyce said was true, that when you underline it in the Bible, it's done?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I underlined it because I do it.
Yeah, like a check mark.
I said, I would be a perfect Christian then because I have perfect highlights and underlines. My Bible is so pretty on the inside.
Yeah.
Not me, though.
If only life was like that. A rainbow of highlights that just worked beautifully in application.
Yep. But it goes back to even what you were saying earlier, you know, like the practical living it out, you know, like it's not always that easy to remember. I need to just go back to the word. I need to go back to what we've talked about, what we've, you know, what we've discussed with friends, and it's not easy.
Well, some of these things, they're just not natural for
us. No, they're not.
So I want to ask you about a couple of these scriptures and just tell me your thoughts. It's kind of like a Rorschach test for scriptures.
It's like a pop quiz. You're not ready.
Like Family Feud? Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Matthew 7:12. So when everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So, you know, it's the rule that we've all heard and all want to live by. But what does this mean when it comes to friendships to you guys?
I mean, so last night, Mike and I were talking. He's my friend. He's my husband, but we're friends. But it was very applicable to this because I said something about, or he told me, why don't you remember? I told you this. Why don't you remember that? And I said, I have a lot going on. I can't remember everything. And he said, well, why do you always tell me that I forget everything? And it was, oh gosh, my pride in that moment.
I hate when that happens.
But he was right. And that's what that reminds me of, that I expect of other people very differently than I expect of myself sometimes. So as a friend, I expect you to always know what I want without saying it,
right?
And to always be at my beck and call. But right. I don't want to give you that.
Somehow know that I need you.
Right.
Right. You should have known.
Right.
And yeah, that's a really
didn't
great
you know
point.
That I'm broken on the inside? Well, no, if I didn't say anything, how would you know that?
Yeah. And I think I'm the opposite of that, where I overthink that a lot sometimes, where I overthink, okay, I'd want people to do this to me. So sometimes my intentions aren't always as pure as they probably should be because I'm always thinking of that. So in this situation, I'd like that, which can oftentimes then turn into me expecting my friends to pretty much be me to me, which isn't fair.
Interesting.
Oh, wait.
Say that again. Because okay. I get it.
You know what I mean?
Like,
because I've been a very intentional Bible studier, Bible liver all my life. And I'm a to the book rule keeper for the most part, you know, other than like certain things, I'm a rebel. But for the most part, when it comes to like scripture, I'm like, all my life I've been that.
Yeah.
So because of that, I've intentionally in my friendships done things that help people or encourage people the way I would want it to be done, which then sometimes is unfair to expect that in return, to expect me as a friend from my friend. So I don't give my Ginger a room to be Ginger to me because I'm expecting Ginger to be Jay because I did that for Ginger, you know, or, you know, and it's just not fair.
That makes so much sense. And I think that's really eye-opening for a lot of us, is we do expect people to act like we think we do, not always that we really do,
right?
But like we think we do, to respond like we think we would,
absolutely.
To say the things that we think need to be said, and that's not fair.
It's not fair at all. And then that's when I know I talk about it a lot, but that divorce season really did help me, like, and it's still helping me, like, break some of that down.
Yeah,
like my expectations of people.
Yeah.
It changed in that it also helped me understand that all friendships aren't forever, you know, like, you know, but it just, what I expected from people sometimes wasn't fair because it's like, they're not me, you know,
and they may need something different that I don't know about.
Exactly. But then that also robbed me of really appreciating the friend that was being that friend to me, you know, like, because I was too busy expecting them to do what I would. And I've seen a lot of friendships fall apart because of that.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of friendships fall apart because people are like, oh, well, why wouldn't she send me a casserole at that? You know, like I've seen, I'm just like,
oh no, I'm surprised we're friends at all because I have never sent you a casserole.
You never sent me a casserole.
It might give you botulism.
Right. And you're like, no, I'm being your friend by not sending you
exactly.
a casserole.
Exactly. I love you, like, so I don't cook for you.
But I've seen it in church so much that people get offended because people didn't do certain things that they would have done.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're not a good friend, you know? And so, yeah, like the whole idea of friendship changed for me over the past couple of years.
Well, here's another verse. And it goes along with this so well, but I think people misunderstand what we're supposed to do with this. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. And when I hear that, I think, oh my goodness, you know, I can't be Jesus. I can't die for my friend. And yet, this means something so different than that. It's much more laying yourself down, putting some things aside and picking up what your friend needs at times. And there's just a lot of wisdom in this. And I think it's really important because I have myself on my mind a lot.
Yeah.
And I need to put that away sometimes and really focus on what that friend needs.
Yeah. I love that.
When you said that, it made me think about how I know I have had to at times, especially in this busy season I live in, with family and navigating all the different pieces. If I know like a friend is hurting, or if they need to meet or something, and my go to is I'm thinking about me.
Busy.
I'm tired. I want to go watch Netflix because the kids have gone to bed or whatever.
Yeah.
But to do what you're saying to me, that looks like, what do they need? So denying my desire to go get in bed and watch Netflix. I'm going to...
With a pizza. Because I know you really well.
We're doing that tonight. You do know me well. Date night. Netflix and pizza. But to sacrifice what I want in that moment and instead put on my pants that have buttons and go out to meet a friend who isn't me. I know. That's a lot of love right there.
It is. It is.
But
I think that's a scripture. Greater love is to put on pants with buttons and go do what your friend needs.
Next time I do that, I'm going to let them know for sure. Like, do you see what I've done for you here? They'll feel so loved.
Put your shirt up. Look at this. Yeah. For you.
But when you do that, like, that's such a gift to you.
Yeah.
Because you really are operating out of selflessness.
Yeah.
And you're helping your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there are so many things that can make friendship easier for us because it really is not naturally easy. And some friendships are different than others. Mm-hmm. And I've been in different places in my life, you know, where I love it when God just gives you an instant connection. And I pray for that all the time. Mm-hmm. Give me those divine friendships that just kind of happen. But others develop over time and sneak up on us and surprise us in their wonderful gifts too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it takes a little bit of learning and work and sacrifice, like you said, to be a good friend.
Yeah, I think one of the most beautiful things about our friendship, even with Joyce, understanding the differences of our expectations with friendships, you know, like Joyce is a busy lady that's a grandma that has a huge ministry. There's no way that we expect to have the same group chat with her that when we're talking about dumb stuff, you know, like, it can't be the same. But then
Joyce is like, no more GIFs.
Man. I don't like, it's like, I'm tired of all of it. Like, so we wouldn't do that with her, but I still love her as a friend. And that's something in this time too, that in our friendship, that just all of us are literally what we say at the beginning, like different stages of life, which is something probably 10 years ago, I never would have even expected to have friends that were, you know, 10 years older than me, 10 years younger than me. I don't even know the math of how much. Joyce is almost 40 years older than me. It's like, and I would have never thought I'd have a friend that's 40 years older than me. I'm actually like, that I can say is like, I love this group of friends. And I think it takes a level of flexibility and even expectations as friends in different seasons of life. Like, don't shy off to say, I only want to be in this group of friends. Like, I only want this group at church. I want to be with the cool people at church, or I want this age group. I want
such a big point.
It's okay to have differing friends. And the fact I'm the only black girl, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's different too. Like, so, but I'm okay with it.
True.
That's such a good point because you're right. We get the good stuff from our friends. And that's why what you said, I love having different friends, people who are not like me. I need them to rub off on me, whether it's age or gender or race or whatever it may be. I love learning things from different people. I need deeper friendships. And we do need this. So we want to talk about that and how to deal with some of the hard stuff when friendships aren't going so well. But right now, and this really plays into it because rejection is such a big part of what divides friends. And often, you know, quite accidentally, we don't even know what's happening. So Joyce has some thoughts about navigating rejection and forgiveness in our relationships.
Build more windows and fewer walls. You know, the minute that somebody hurts you or offends you, if you're sensitive, you can feel like this little invisible wall go up. Because we want to protect ourselves. We don't want to get hurt again. But here's the fact, you can't love people if you're not willing to get hurt. There's no relationship that you can have where you won't get hurt sometimes or somebody will disappoint you. That's why we need to be quick to forgive, merciful, believe the best. And see, you're not responsible really for how somebody treats you. You're only responsible for how you respond. And if we respond properly, God will take care of and deal with the other person. God brings vengeance into our life, and He's our recompense and our reward. How many of you think that God could take better care of you than you can take of yourself? Well, if you really believe it, then why don't you put it to a test in your life? Different story. Learn to be a little more transparent with people. We usually don't do so because we fear rejection. But if a person rejects us for being honest about ourselves, then they would never be a good friend anyway. If you have to be a people pleaser, doing everything the other person wants you to do in order to gain their friendship, you will always have to do the same thing to keep their friendship. And eventually, you're going to get tired of it and not want to do that anymore. It's impossible to be what every person in our life wants us to be. So we should decide to be ourselves. I've got a new statement that I'm going to be using. Stop saying yes if your heart is screaming no. Be authentic. Take off your masks. Stop pretending and be real. Be totally honest with people, simultaneously using wisdom. And that's very important. Being honest doesn't mean that you have to give your opinion on every subject that comes up. Well, I'm just being honest. Well, no, that lacks wisdom. The Bible says only a fool speaks out all of his opinions. It doesn't mean that you tell a friend everything about yourself. Some things should be kept just between you and God.
I feel everything she just said very deeply.
I understand.
There's a few statements in there that I'm like,
I think so too. Ooh. Yeah.
Don't be everything for all people.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to hurt anyone. And so somehow, and this is wrong thinking that I'm sure I've had, is I think I have to be what they want to be the kind of friend that they need.
Yeah.
But then I'm not worthy or worthwhile as a friend because I'm not being myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just a cycle.
That friend is, like I said earlier, I'm robbing you the opportunity to be authentically you. Mm-hmm. And I'm missing out on the benefits of you being authentically you.
Yeah.
Because that's why God brought us together. It wasn't for you to morph into what you think I need or morph into what I say I need from you. Like, it's to be you. Like, of course, we talk it out and figure out, you know, boundaries and things like that. But I think it's important as friends that we don't do that.
I just to be super honest, this is sort of silly, but even with the two of you, you all are very talented ladies. And I have at times thought, like, I am not good enough to be their friend. I can sing. I know. We all know this.
You really can.
I can't.
Sing songs.
But like that.
She can belt out those in
I
sync
can belt
songs.
Them. That doesn't mean I'm Merry on Christmas. Pitch or key. But that I've had to work through that a few times. Like, I want to be just like them because I do. I love you both so much and I think you're amazing. I'll never be that cool. Like, why do they let me hang out with them? And so I've had to work through some of that. Like, no, Aaron, you bring your own things to the table here. They don't love you because of your lack of musical abilities. They love you because of who you are.
Probably every one of us could say the exact same thing.
Yeah. Sure.
I can look at the two of you and say the exact same thing. And I see Aaron and I think, Aaron is like the epitome of a good friend.
Yes.
You have been in how many weddings? You're like the
27.
Okay, there it is. 27 dresses. I mean, Aaron just has such qualities that I would love to have. And I look at Jay and I think the same thing about so many different things. Mm-hmm. And not just talent, but so many things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's part of loving, really loving the people that you're good friends with.
Yeah, yeah,
is not wanting to be who they are, wanting to be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always easy.
It isn't. And what I had to talk to myself about this was, one, Aaron, deal with yourself, but also, who are these two ladies in your life? Like, I know who you are, and I know your character, and you love me because you're wonderful, and you aren't asking me to be somebody that I'm not. So that I had to remember who you are and not just worry about what I was thinking you wanted.
I think it's so important to realize that we do let each other be each other.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do sometimes because of our own insecurities. And I wonder different things, you know, that I have to work through in my mind. And let me give you an example with another friend that I have. My friend Amy and I have been friends for years and years and years, and we had children together, and we've just been really close. Then I moved away from where we lived in Ohio, so now it's been nearly 20 years that we've mm-hmm. been long-distance friends. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you, your long-distance friends, they matter. You don't want to let go of those friendships. But there have been times with me and Amy that we don't talk as much. And then I start to ask the questions, you know, is she upset with me?
Right.
Did I do something? Does she not want to be friends anymore? All those little insecurities start to work their way up. But what I love is that with real friendships like that, when you do talk again, it's hours and it's like you were never
you
apart.
All those years.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's such a blessing to have friends like that. So don't let those questions, those insecurities come up in your mind. I'll start blaming myself. And I think a lot of people will do that as
absolutely.
Friends. And in even if we don't have as many friends, we start to think, well, how can I be different to get more friends? That is never the answer. Unless there are things in your life, because, you know, that you're hurting someone
with.
Yeah,
you can be real, not you, but people. I've known people to expect, and that's something that Joyce just talked about in the clip. Like, some things you only do need to keep with you and Jesus. Like, you need to have him be your closest friends. And a lot
that's
of times,
very true.
We want our friends to be Jesus in human form. And we want to dump everything on a friend where that can just be an emotional weight to that other friend.
Right. Like, we can't be overly needy and expect them to fulfill all of our needs.
Exactly. So they're like, there are some people that are out there that probably don't have a lot of friends because maybe you're a bad vibe, you know, maybe you are like a joy sucker, you know, where you walk in and you're like, you know, so maybe we could work on, and I could do that. I could be that way. You know,
we all have stuff to work on.
We can work on that stuff. And
but
not
if it's changing who you are on the inside,
not at all. Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Be who you are. Ask God to show what do I need to do to be the kind of friend that they need instead of why aren't they being the kind of friend that I need?
Right.
Because, you know, you see a glimpse of us here on the podcast, but you don't see everything. And we've gone through some really hard things. We've had to have some serious, painful difficult conversations that have been important and really matter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there have been times, like you said, that just our life and the things that we're going through make it difficult. I sent a text to you guys last week and said, I just miss us, you know? Yeah. We just need to get together. And we haven't done it yet, yeah, but it's thrown out there, you know, so that we know what each other needs. We have yeah to be honest. Yeah.
One thing, as you said, that we've had hard conversations, one thing that has stood out to me in any time for us in particular, and then other hard conversations I've had with friends, the thing that always stands out is after having them, I should have expected the best of them. And sometimes we get so in our heads about why something is the way it is or isn't that I forgot to expect the best of them and remember who they are, what their heart is. Mm-hmm. I've had conversations even with someone here at work, and she and I were just talking about it the other day. We've had worked through some hard stuff, and I went into it frustrated. And then as I hear her talk, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I see your side. I know who you are. So I think that's such a really big part of our friendship is learning that. And that part of those hard conversations are going into it expecting that they are good and their heart is in the right place, mm-hmm, you know, as opposed to frustration and anger.
Yeah.
I like that you said learning it, because friendships are not instantaneous.
No.
Even with those divine connections, you know, where you just kind of click and you're so grateful, but that's a seed that has to be cultivated and watered, and it takes a lot of love and patience and forgiveness. Yeah. We've had a lot of forgiveness between the three of us.
We had to. Like, this is a friendship with me and Ginger that started back like 2013 or 14, something like that. That's like, it's taken us several hard conversations, tears.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all kinds of things for us to get to a place where we're this comfortable. And like the same, even, well, honestly, not really with, when I first met you, you hugged me. So
that's kind of. Which isn't normal, just so you know.
It isn't?
No, I don't.
You just really liked me initially.
Yeah. Oh, I was drawn to you.
Really?
I didn't like her. No, I'm kidding. I'm really kidding.
Well, this is a safe place. Let's talk about that.
I loved her.
But I was like, no, like, I mean, you did. You just came and hugged. And I stood up and hugged you back, which I don't do either. Right. But like, like just understanding things and growing in friend. But we've had hard conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not easy. Like, friendships are work. And that's a lot of times why a lot of people don't have friends too. Because it's like, do you really want to have the energy to invest in it? Because it takes a lot of work.
It does. And we want to talk about expectations too. We mentioned that just a little bit. But with all relationships, friendships, marriages, whatever it may be, expectations play a huge role. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see what Joyce has to see about that and how it will apply to you and your friendships.
There's so much pressure sometimes to be like somebody else or like everybody else. And I think really, all of us, really, we want to be loved and accepted for who we are. We don't want to feel like that we have to do this to make you happier, do that to make you happier, be this to make you happy. We just want to be free to be ourselves. And, you know, we've all got a little bit of uniqueness, and you're not going to find two people that are exactly alike. And often, especially in marriage, it becomes a real issue because we usually marry someone that is opposite of us. We're attracted to somebody that has what we don't have, although we really don't understand that's why we're attracted to them. And then we get married and we start trying to change them and make them be like us. And I know that was a real problem for Dave and I for a lot of years. And I'm so glad that we both got over it, because now we've been married 55 years. And, you know, I'm proud of that, because there's not a lot of people that make it that long. And actually, we probably have more fun now, get along better now than we ever have. And there's many, many things that I love and appreciate about Dave, but the thing that I love the most is he really lets me be who I am. Even though I have little annoying habits, I'm impatient. I'm sure I can name a whole bunch of different things. But he actually, things that many people would think were faults, he actually laughs at me and thinks it's funny, because he knows that that's just the way I am. But you know, I went through a period in my life, and I'm sure that most of you have too, where I really felt pressured to be like this person or that person or some other person. And sometimes other people do pressure us, but sometimes they don't even have to pressure us. We put the pressure on ourselves. And, you know, it's really important that you learn how to accept yourself and be yourself, because God is never going to help you be somebody else.
So those great friendships begin with people who love themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, knowing that we are creations of God and not loving ourselves in an unhealthy, selfish way, but having that confidence of who we are in Christ, loving ourselves gives us love to give a friend. And that's something I always want to foster so that I have it to give to other people. Sometimes I do it better than others, but you know, it's a goal. Hashtag goals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You can always tell when someone who doesn't love themselves or they have a lot of pain that they're holding onto, it's hard to be friends with them because there's that that veil up that you can't be vulnerable in the same kind of way when you aren't comfortable with who God is in you.
Yeah.
So it makes friendship really difficult.
Yeah, I know one of the biggest things that we've had hurdles with, especially in these trying times over the past 5 years, is just like race and culture and differences. And a lot of people in church don't talk about it. You know, we don't really talk about it. And I know for me personally, because I've experienced so much in different church settings, being, you know, the minority in a lot of situations, I came to our friendship sometime with that baggage and that past pain and that past refusal to ever be treated a certain way that, you know, that maybe I projected onto even you guys, you know, that, but also a reality of like understanding that in most of those situations, I couldn't be my authentic self. I didn't feel like I could, because if I did, half the time people couldn't understand me. So even my vernacular, the way I speak, like I would code switch. Like there's something called code switching that a lot of African-Americans and other cultures do it too, but I can only speak on my, 'cause that's who I am. But like when I'm with my family, I notice it's like speaking different languages. Mm-hmm. When I'm with my family, I don't talk like completely like this. It's a natural thing when I get in a professional environment that I code switch. I was trained to do it as a child and I do it automatically. Well, you guys know this because I think when I'm at your house, I just be regular. Like, you know, like at this point, you know.
I like it when it happens.
I know, but it took a while for me to disarm myself to get to, and it took some really hard conversations to understand, like, okay, did you do that because I was black? Did you do, like, did y'all, like, it was a lot of things, especially in some of the really, really tense times that a lot of people weren't, in the church weren't talking about, you know, some of those issues, which, you know, was fine with me, but it's like, how does this affect me? Because this is affecting me. This, what's happening outside and in the news and in the world, it's affecting me, you know, and I'm scared about a certain things. And so as my friends that I really love and trust, I'm like, how do you guys feel about it? And so I know a lot of our hard conversations were even surrounding that. And I was grateful. And I think it took our friendship, has taken our friendship to a whole nother level. Because even I think one of you, it might've been you that said like, every time you talk to me, I feel like I'm in trouble, you know? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just angry and I'm frustrated. And I mean, there are areas I had to work on, but even that level of comfort for you both to be able to say, okay, let's talk about it. Okay, we can do better. But I feel like, I think you might've said that. I don't know, both of y'all probably said it. But I'm just saying, having those hard conversations, even around things that are taboo or things that are, that are tough.
Well, the great thing about it is there are things that we all have to learn. I mean, we can't possibly understand one another's experiences because we haven't lived them.
Yeah.
And so learning that makes us better people. And then at the same time, we're learning, like you said earlier, Erin, each other's hearts.
Yeah.
So I can get down to... Mm-hmm. This is who I know they are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They might need a little bit of coaching in this area because they don't know what it's like for me.
Right.
And it goes all the way around. So I think when it's done in a healthy way, which is hard to figure out.
My ways weren't always healthy.
It's hard to work
just
through.
Let's throw that out there. They weren't the healthiest.
But it makes us all
that we're still friends.
It makes us all better in the long run.
It does. And I, looking back on some of those conversations, they were uncomfortable. And I have never had someone to talk to about some of those really difficult things before. I've never had to talk to somebody about what their experience was like growing up so differently than I did, being a different race than I am. And so they were hard conversations, but also I was so grateful, I don't know if I ever told you this, that you were so patient to let me have them with you. And we were able to have conversations that not everybody's having.
Yeah.
And it was really important for me. Like I feel like I've grown a lot in a lot of ways because of your willingness to talk with me. You know?
Your willingness to like understand not just me as Jay, but uh-huh. understand that baggage to say like, okay, let me research. Mm-hmm. So you did some your own research. And then you also were like, is there any literature I can read? Is there anything, you know? So like,
because I care about my friend.
You cared about me. And so I felt seen. And I think at the end of the day, when you feel seen and known, that's our whole goal.
Yeah.
Like, is that willingness to see and know goes deeper in that friendship and takes that friendship
That could
deeper.
Be the definition of friendship almost.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. To take the time to lay down your life. Mm-hmm. To see
your
and know
way, the way you said it,
your friend. Yeah, that's nice.
No, I love it. I mean, that's what, and I do believe that friend, a brother is born through adversity. I think once we have those tough times, it's not that's not the sign to tuck in your tail and run and be like, conflict.
Never mind, I'm out. And a lot of people will do that.
Yeah, sure.
I am out. You know,
That's not what friendship is. Like without, if you love someone, there will be contrast. There will be conflict.
Yeah, but it's inevitable.
But it's about the resolution of it all. Mm. Like how do you agree to disagree, or how do you try to find out why? And and you know, the foundation, if you really love it, you'll invest in it.
And it's so scriptural. I mean, it's how Christ tells us to love one another. Anyway, and he says in the Bible he created us for a relationship. Man should not be alone. I mean, that he brings us together so that we can love and support each other. And you know, there are so many beautiful scriptures that tell us that that says carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. And then other things about forgiving and not being a gossip, which separates friends, and just so many great guidelines in God's word. Well, thank you both for being my friends. I love
you. Thank you, friend.
Love you too.
Love you too.
And all of you out there, I know we talk like this because we sincerely mean it. Maybe I can't see you. Maybe I don't know everything about you. But there is something that God does in a supernatural way that pulls us together. When we have these conversations, when you're listening, when you're part of it, when we're praying for one another, I don't have to know you to pray for you. And so today I pray that God opens your heart and your life to the right friends, the people who will bless you and who you can bless in return. We do have an offer for you that I think will really help, and you're going to love it. If you go to joycemeyer.org/talkitout, it's a free audio download called Love God, Yourself, and Others. Three really important ways to work on yourself so that those relationships are going to be seeded into fertile ground. That's who you can be, that friend that is ready to be a friend to somebody else. And don't forget while you're there to subscribe to the podcast, catch up on other episodes, let us know how you're doing. We love hearing from all of you. And we'll see everybody next time.
Yep. See you.
Bye. JoyceMeyer.org/talkitout is a wonderful place. Go there for today's resource to check out all of the episodes and to get to know us a little better. Please don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen or watch Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, and let us know what you're thinking. Your voice is important to us.